Good morning. Welcome to church. And if you're a visitor to our church this morning, an especially warm welcome to you. Let's pray. Almighty God and our gracious Heavenly Father, you are creator and ruler of all things. Everything that is good is in you. Everything that is loving is in you. And you show mercy to an extent that we will never understand. We come this day to offer to you our worship and our thanksgiving. We come here today to acknowledge your greatness. We come to celebrate, and in particular to celebrate your love. We come here today to say thank you to you, to say thank you for your mercy. And we come here today to acknowledge your unchanging purpose, especially for your church here on earth. For who you are and what you are and will ever be, we worship you. Help us this day through your Holy Spirit to focus our minds upon you. Not that we might turn aside from our world and forget its needs, but that we might return after this to our daily lives with a greater vision for your purposes in this world, that we might have a deeper sense of your presence with us, and a greater resolve to serve you and make a difference, so that in the place where you have put us, we might be your ambassadors. Come this day through your Spirit and reveal your presence. Help us to understand something of the mystery of your being. Help us, too, to understand something of the extent of your will. And inspire us and humble us with a new sense of your majesty and authority, so that we may worship you not just with our lips, but with our hearts and with our minds and with our whole being. Meet with us now in this place that we have set apart for worship. Help us each day to live in the light of your presence. Give us a constant awareness of your greatness and your love, so that whatever we have to face, whatever challenges we may have to face, whatever situations we find ourselves in, that we might be equipped to meet them in your name and to offer our lives of true discipleship that are pleasing in your sight. And so for who you are and what you are and always will be, we worship you this day and give you our praise and all honor through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. So they arrived at the other side of the lake, in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered into the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he had told them. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of this, his word. So, in this story, Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. But I would like us to think about the era in which this story was told, the political scene in which it was in Jesus' day. So let us look at that. And it was complicated. It was just as complicated then as it is today. And after the death of Herod, the country had been divided up. And part of it was in the northeast of the Sea of Galilee. And the bit where our story takes place is in the south, and it was never considered to be Jewish. So this is where our story takes place, and it was called Decapolis, or 10 towns. It's not exactly clear which town it took place near, but the point is that these people weren't Jewish, nor was the land in where these pigs grazed. And pigs were regarded by the Jews to be unclean. So another area also which features highly in this story that was regarded as unclean to Jews was the graveyards. And coming into contact with graves and the dead would class you as unclean. So here we have the scene for this story. We have a graveyard in a non-Jewish part of the country, a herd of pigs grazing nearby, and a man possessed by demons. All the elements Jews would consider would make them unclean and contaminate them. And yet, Jesus arrives by boat after having calmed the storm. And last week we heard about the story of the calming of the storm. And so you can imagine, this I would think is quite a disturbing scene. The time of day is not specified, but it might have been evening, which would make the scene even that bit more eerie and unnerving. The man comes screaming out from the graves, probably having broken his chains once again. The local community are afraid of them, as you can understand. They don't understand this man. They try to restrain him. He keeps breaking his chains. He's unkempt, and he screams day and night. He believes he's possessed by many demons, and although he's got this super strength that breaks his chains, he is a wreck emotionally. He's isolated, and he's heading towards self-destruction if something in his life doesn't change. And then Jesus appears, and the man sees a glimmer of hope for himself. Here is someone who can help him. We do not know why Jesus picked this particular place or time, but what happens next has significant meaning for those living in the area at that time. Rome was an extremely unpopular occupying force. The people feared them. They were a brutal regime. They kept their people who they governed under strict control, and people were very afraid to step out of line because the punishments were severe. So they would consider them a bit like the pigs, unclean. And they would welcome them being driven into the sea. There would be no tears shed if they could get rid of the Roman occupation. So Jesus approaches this man and starts to communicate with him. He asks the demon to leave, but this does not work. So he asks the demon's name and learns that the demon is called Legion, which, as you think back to Roman times, the Roman army was made up of legions. So again, we have this reference to Rome. But in Jesus' time, if you knew a demon's name, that gave you power over it. But Jesus had to convince this man that he was going to remove these demons. And so a physical sign was required. And here he sees the herd of pigs. And the pigs, well, for them, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, for they were ideal for Jesus' message. He could show the man his demons were gone and also create the symbolism of the occupying force, Rome being driven out and into the sea. We read that the herdsmen ran away to the towns and told people what had happened. There's not a lot of information given about the herdsmen, but I would imagine they would have a lot of feelings and emotions going through them at this time. They would probably have watched this man day by day wander through the graveyards, through the caves, screaming, shouting, self-harming himself with stones. And now they see him go up to this stranger who got out of the boat with a few men and start to speak to him. And they hear Jesus command the demons to leave. And the next thing they know is that their pigs and their livelihood is trundling down towards the cliff and the sea. And the noise of 2,000 pigs running towards a cliff and going into the sea must have been quite terrific. Whether it was 2,000 pigs or not is really immaterial. It would be a lot of pigs. And so they must have been quite stunned and wondered, what have we just witnessed? What they had just witnessed was Jesus healing a man, demonstrating his power and care and compassion for a man who was in constant torment. What was the reaction from the community? Well, The community was curious, yes, they were very curious as to what had happened, and they wanted to see for themselves, could this man be healed? Did the pigs really go into the sea? But their attitude towards Jesus was fear. And we don't want you there. Did they see the care and compassion of Jesus? Were they afraid of the power he had just demonstrated? Or were they afraid he had expectations for them and that he wanted to change their lives? And maybe they weren't ready for that change. The man healed by Jesus wanted to go. He wanted to follow Jesus. But he was told, no, go and tell your story around the towns. Go locally and you tell what you have just seen, what has happened to you. The passage doesn't say how he felt, but I wonder if he was not a little upset and disappointed that Jesus was not prepared to take him with him. He wasn't getting to go with Jesus on future journeys. He was staying where he was to spread the word. He had been on the receiving end of Jesus' power, and I would imagine he wanted to learn more. He wanted to be in the company of Jesus. But it was not Jesus' plan, though. And that is often the reality. What we want is not what we get, and what we get is what we need at that particular time. But what does this passage say to us today? Today, and certainly in our culture, demon possession is not something we encounter very often. But there are areas of the world where people do believe in demon possession. And I'd like to just tell a short story about my time in Africa. In one case, when I was working at Livingstonia, and we sadly had children brought in with malaria and other diseases. And quite often they died. And there was one child that sticks in my mind particularly because it was a child, there was not very many relatives, and relatives had to look after the children when they were in hospital. Relatives had to look after any patient that was in hospital. And so this child only had one or two relatives. And so a lot of the staff would help. But there was one member of staff who never offered to help feed this child, change this child. He really did nothing to help. Sadly, the child died. And he came to me and he said, can I go to the funeral? And I said, well, are you a relative? And he went, no, but I need to go to the funeral. And I said, well, why do you need to go to the funeral? He says, because if I don't, they'll think I created the evil spirit. And that's why the child died. And so in their culture, there were reasons sometimes on why children died, and they saw it as an evil force. And he was a member of staff that was feared by other members of staff as well. And they had this feeling that he had this power over people. So it does exist. And also, I think when AIDS, I was there in 84, 87, and when AIDS hit the scene, people didn't know what it was. All they knew that people were dying very dramatically. They were becoming very thin. There was no medicine that worked, and put it down to evil spirits. And today is also the 25th of January, which I'm sure most of you know is a special day for us here in Scotland. We're going to burn suppers tonight or through the week. And I can recall in my school days, Tam O'Shanter. And I think he was quite scared when he passed the graveyard and all the things that he saw. So we do have a culture where demons mean different things to different people. But although we may not think of people being possessed with demons, we can think of people who we would class as evil. And Adolf Hitler comes to my mind as one of them. And the destruction of the horror he brought, especially to the Jewish nation. And there are certainly situations occurring in the world today which we would say are truly evil, and committed by evil people. I would like us to think, though, about what might be classed as modern-day demons which affect our society today. And I think maybe any excessive behaviours or addictions which cause harm to either oneself or other people might be seen in some cases as demons. We talk about what's your demon. I'm thinking about gambling or drinking alcohol to excess, mental health issues, and people are quite often scared of mental health issues because we don't understand them. We've also talked a little bit this morning about different ways of communication, and I'd like to also think on the internet and social media and how it is used. It can be used for good, but it can also be used for, well, evil's probably too strong a word, but a lot of the children now can be bullied by social media. We sadly have had young people commit suicide because they have been affected by what's been said about them on social media and spread to all their friends, and they don't see a way out. So we really have to be careful as to how we use it. And people can be socially isolated and very lonely. How do we react to people who are different? For whatever reason, do we shun them because we're afraid? We don't know how to interact with them? Maybe because their behaviour's erratic or unpredictable, so we're a little bit scared of them. And how often have we heard or read in a newspaper where somebody's been ill, they've collapsed in the street, and nobody goes to help them because we're frightened? We, as a community, are frightened because they've behaved differently, or we think they're just drunk, when in fact they're ill. And even if they are just drunk, they still need help. Do we behave like the herdsman and the community and push Jesus away? Again, because we don't understand. And maybe we don't want to understand. To use the old phrase, ignorance is bliss. I like my life just the way it is, thank you very much. I don't want to have to change. Or do we listen to Jesus and follow his example of showing care and compassion to those in need? Jesus was demonstrating a bigger picture here. He was showing us God's kingdom is about bringing healing and restoring justice to the world by dealing with the oppressed. He was also showing his care and compassion by identifying why this man was isolated and mocked, or with this man. He too would be isolated and mocked at the hands of the Romans, and mocked by people. Jesus came to share with people at a local level their pain. He knew what they were going through. He saw the Roman oppression. He took on evil in order to free the people. Jesus saw the man possessed by demons, a man in deep distress and in need. And so he met the need and healed the man. Jesus loves us and wants the best for us. He wants us to be healed and whole, people who can work for God's glory. Jesus was not able to free the man of his demons at the first attempt, but he did not give up. He kept working with the man until he was free of his demons. And so it is with us. He doesn't give up on us. He keeps working with us, changing us, little by little, making us better people, making a difference in this world. But he can only do that as long as we're receptive, open our minds and our hearts to him. Jesus changes lives. He can change our lives, but we have to allow him in. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us gifts of money so that we can gift to you some of our wealth for the sake of your kingdom. These gifts are given in faith, with love, as part of our discipleship, and we offer them here today in the name of Christ. Heavenly Father, in a world that sometimes seems mad, help us to understand that you are still reigning supreme over all. We bring to you our world. We come to you as the man in the story we have just heard about came to Christ, and we come in our own personal need, but we also come as intercessors with the needs of our world, and we lay them at your feet. Forgive us, Lord, when we have contributed to the madness and insanity that is evil. Forgive us, Lord, if through our bodies, with our tongues, we have contributed to the sins of this world, even this week. And help us now to turn to you and open our hearts and our minds to you so that you might heal us and bring healing, maybe through us, to this world. We acknowledge, Lord, that this is a world that needs Jesus and yet so often turns away. It turns its heart away to indulge itself in religion or in politics or in so many of the things that distract people's attention so that they never have to look clearly at themselves, inwardly to themselves. And we would ask, Lord, that in your power you would break through. And Lord, we want to pray for that for the weeks and the months that lie ahead of us in this year, that you indeed would break through into our lives and indeed the lives of many within our community, within this town, within this presbytery, within this nation. Forgive us, Lord, as a church in this nation, when we are without faith and complacent. Forgive us when we are timid in our presentation of the most wonderful news that there is. Engage with us through your Spirit and give us confidence and boldness, passion and compassion. And awake, Lord, in people's hearts and minds a need for Christ, for faith, for eternal salvation, for healing of body, soul, and mind. We pray, Lord, for those whose needs are specific at this moment. We think, Lord, of folks who are bereaved at this time, where that sharp pain that is indescribable rips through our soul as we lose someone that we love. And we pray for your healing. We pray, Lord, that you would give us hope and peace, strength and courage. Lord, we pray for those who will travel long distances over the next few days. Be with them in their journey and grant them journeying mercies. We pray, Lord, for those who are anxious, fearful about the future, for those who are depressed, clinically depressed, not just feeling down, suffering from anxiety, feeling that profound sense of hopelessness, which words cannot begin to describe. Lord, touch their hearts. Restore them to full health. Restore their minds through whatever means you choose, through the skills of those in particular who can heal the mind. We pray for those who are ill in body at this time, perhaps in a hospital, perhaps at home, perhaps too frightened to go to a doctor, fearing the worst of news. Lord, come with your gracious hand and bring healing to them. And for those, Lord, on that journey towards life, the word we use is death, but towards life, Lord, we pray that you would give them the courage to face their future as they shed this body, and the knowledge, Lord, that you are waiting with something far better. And finally, Lord, we pray for the children of our world, in particular, those who are in refugee camps, those who are starving, those whose parents have died and have no one, those living in extreme poverty, those living without hope. Lord, save the children and help us to do whatever we can do for them. This is Leprosy Sunday, and we remember, Lord, in particular, the children who suffer from leprosy at the very beginning of their life to have such an awful disease. And we pray, Lord, for all of the different leprosy missions that there are. We ask, Lord, that you will strengthen their hand, that they will have all their needs met. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, our minds, and even our pockets today with generous giving, so that those in the greatest of need might be helped and healed. Bless, Lord, those who run these missions. May they be given greater faith and all that they need for the tasks that they do. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Receive Christ into your hearts and into your minds this day. And may he go with you into this week, and you with him. And may his grace and his mercy, his peace and his love remain with you today and forevermore.